Greetings again, everyone. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 4. We continue to work our way through this book. Open up. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along and take notes. Proverbs chapter 4. Our exposition this morning will be with verses 1 through 9. Title is Principle, Wisdom is the Principal Thing. Keying off of the verse 7, off of that, for the title. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 9. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my word. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. And a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, what a glorious passage. Lord, the exhortation and the foundation of wisdom and all the fruit and blessing that flow from it. Father, may we have a desire and a longing to strive and to get wisdom and to get understanding, not simply to be wise in the things of this world, but to be wise in life in the context of you as our creator, living in a moral universe that you created. Father, as we pursue, seek wisdom, you have promised many blessings, much fruit. And so, Lord, you have given us more than enough motives and encouragement to seek and to follow and to pursue and to cry out for wisdom. But, Lord, it begins in the home. It begins with those who love us and want to give us wisdom and advice and counsel that will be useful and productive, not only in this life, but in our relationship with you. The Lord, may we be people who are humble, teachable, submissive, and may we be obedient to the things that we learn. Lord, may we see these 9 verses as an exhortation to ourselves, because that's exactly what it is. An exhortation to pursue and to seek and to long and desire for this. Not for selfish reason, but it's the right thing to do. Because to seek wisdom is to seek you. To seek it from your hand. You are the foundation and the source. It all begins with the fear of the Lord. That's where it begins. The Lord help us not to be given over to vanity, let alone sinful plotting and thinking and planning. But Lord, may we seek the high ground. Seek the things that bear fruit, bring honor and glory to yourself, and dignify our purpose for which we are here, to worship you, to give thanks to you, and to live according to your rules and laws for our good, and for the good of those around us. The Lord be with us this morning. in Christ's name. Amen. In our passage today, we'll be exhorted to inquire, to acquire wisdom. Not simply to seek it, but to acquire it, to gain it. To be teachable and listen to correction and not abandon that teaching. Parents must make every effort to teach and inform their kids about the way of wisdom and the path of righteousness. Clearly, we see that at the front end of this passage. The only way we can break the power of sin in the heart of a child whose folly and foolishness is bound in their hearts, and by the world's influence on young people, is to teach and model by example the teachings of the Word of God, to give them the truth, to give them what is right. We live in a world that want to deny the absolute, want to deny that there is an absolute, all-embracing truth. And yet we know better. The Scriptures speak clearly that there is such thing as absolute truth, and it's not relative. So in point number one, the first thing we are encouraged to do is to listen to correction. Look at verse 1 and 2. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Here we have an earnest call to pay attention to parental teaching and advice. We learned it right from the very beginning of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Right after it gave the first six verses on the purpose and the meaning of the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7 of the the fear of the Lord at the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding, and then fleshing that out in verse 8, it said, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Where wisdom begins is from God-fearing parents teaching their children the fear of the Lord and the way of the Lord and the word of the Lord. These are strong exhortations here. He said to hear, to pay it, give attention to, and do not forsake. So what do these words mean? The word hear means to listen. To listen with the intent to obey. To listen with the intent to yield to what is being said and what is being taught and counseled and instructed. Today, so often, we live in a world that children just do whatever you think, do whatever you want, and they want to remove more and more the authority of parents. But the Bible makes it clear that you are the main teacher of the home in their early formidable years to teach them the things of God. And anything, don't simply teach them how to look right and act right, but to be right, to live a life that is upright and God-fearing, one that is flowed from the heart, not simply because you have molded them into a certain way of walking and talking. That they would truly seek the instruction of the Father and give attention to His law. Later in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to 23, it says, did my son keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, or mean when you walk in life, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is the lamp and the law a light. Reproof of instructions are the way of life. Clearly, we need to understand that God's word and God's ways are the right way and the path of wisdom. When we embrace them and begin to live them out, they will bring about blessing in themselves. Because to live a obedient life to the will and the word of God is to live a life of blessedness. Not free from problems, not free from trouble, but many of the troubles that will come to a God-fearing person come from people impacting them, not from choices, bad choices or decisions on their part. And that's what we're talking about here as we work our way through Proverbs. Psalm 34, verse 11 says this, come, you children, listen to me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, listen to these words. This is the Apostle Paul appealing to the brothers and sisters at Thessalonica how to teach. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So Paul was saying, as we administered to you, we did it just like a father does with their children. With purpose, with good intention, with their good at the end and the glory of God at the ultimate end. That it not only good doctrine and good teaching and rightful teaching that will be a blessing if you heed it, it comes from the heart of a father that speaks of affection and love. It's one thing to be taught by an instructor, it's another one to be taught by your parents, your father, your mother, because they are looking out for your best interest. Now, I want you to call your attention to the word instruction here. So often if we don't take the time to get underneath what that word is, the word speaks of being disciplined. The instruction that comes as a result of being corrected. In other words, fathers and parents need to be willing to correct their children and keep them on the right path. When they deviate from the Word of God, from the path of God, and from the ways of God, they need to be corrected and sometimes even disciplined. That's what that word instruction is. It is teaching with the idea of correction. It would use, this particular word would use 50 times in the Old Testament, 30 times in the book of Proverbs, speaking of the fact of that very point of fathers need to be willing to discipline their children and to correct their children to instruct them. It's not enough to simply correct them and not give them the instruction that to follow up. And to understand why you're being dealt with here, we want to correct you so you will stop doing this and start going down here. That is the idea of the word. Though the word carried with it the idea of reproof and correction, it must be welcome. So whenever, young people, you are being corrected or reproved, nobody likes being told, you're wrong here, you need to do this. Stop doing this, start doing this. You deviated from the path. But that's also true of all of us. Anytime we are corrected with the opportunity to be set on the right course, we should welcome that correction. Later on in Proverbs chapter 9, it said that a fool resisted that kind of instruction. A wise person loves the person who gives that instruction, that correction, that reproof that will help them to get back on the right track. We should always welcome it as it's good for our lives and for our souls. The next word or phrase I want you to call your attention to in verse 1 is the word give attention. The word give attention means be attentive. Sometimes children are not very attentive when you are trying to help them. Sometimes they kind of daydream, shut you out. They call it selective hearing loss. Okay, I actually have a hearing loss. I wear hearing aids. But many of you will have a selective hearing loss at that time. But the truth is, that's part of the human nature. We don't always like to hear what we don't want to hear. But folks, you need to recognize that if wisdom being imparted to you and given to you, give attention to it. Pay attention to it. Be attentive and incline and pay attention. As we learn in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, that when it comes to wisdom, it said, if you receive my words and treasure my commands, incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding and cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You should be seeking, longing, crying out, and wanting wisdom. You should recognize it when it before you, when you are being instructed, corrected, reproved. Give attention to it. Listen to it. May all young people in the days of their childhood and youth make an effort to get wisdom and to get grace. One of the things that often we have to ask ourselves the question, what do young people do in their free time? If given the resources and means, where are they to go where they want, what would it be? Often if you give them unlimited screen time, where would they go? To a Bible study program? Or a video game? Sometimes they follow and pattern after us, don't they? But young people, I encourage you, you need to get deep within your soul a hunger and a thirst for wisdom now. So by the time you leave your home from the instruction and teaching of your parents to help you in this endeavor, that you'll be grounded not learning the lessons then. You need to seek and guide and long for it. We have learned from our recent baptism, a person can be very young and to seek the Lord for salvation for their eternal soul. And if they're old enough to seek Christ, they're old enough to seek the Lord diligently for wisdom, for their daily life, for the rest of their life. It's important that we catch that. There's no implication that we get to do this for a while and I don't have to do it anymore after I get to a certain age. No, we never stop learning and growing. The best teacher, mom and dad, are those who are ever growing in their own faith and knowledge and understanding of the things of God and the way of wisdom. Matthew Henry said this, "Let them be submissive, teachable, and humble, and receive the instruction at the word of a father which comes with authority and affection." We must see it coming from God as our Father in heaven. Call your attention to verse 2 now. "For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." First thing I want you to notice is the phrase, "I give you." That speaks of the fact that this is a gift. If you're a child and you have a parent that loves God and loves His Word and they are trying to impart wisdom, that is a gift. Gift from Almighty God through your parents to you. Here you need to see it as a gift, and therefore we must listen with all diligence and seek to know and understand it. If we don't and we refuse it, we will forget. If you do not desire to be all that you can be for God, and all for God, you will not heed the instruction and counsel and advice and wisdom that come to help you in that path. If you don't embrace it and realize it as a wonderful gift from God, you will forget, you will drip away, and eventually abandon it. That's why it said at the end of the verse, where the warning, "Do not forsake my law." And it's interesting, they use the word law there, not as a suggestion. Law is binding, has authority. We're going to be held accountable to it. And it is not wise to go against the law. Certainly the law of God, especially if mom and dad are teaching you the law in the home that flows from the law of God. Not only does He give you the law, but it says here, "I give you good doctrine." Not just simply doctrine, just simply teaching or theology, but good doctrine. Stuff that is good and wholesome and useful for you. Proverbs 8, verse 6 through 8 says this, "Listen carefully. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them." Here, when wisdom speaks, it speaks the things that are excellent and right and true. They are in the direction of and flow from righteousness. Proverbs 22, verse 20 and 21. "Have I not written to you excellent things of the counsel of counsel and knowledge, that I may make known to you," listen to these words, "the certainty of the words of truth. I love the ring of that. The certainty of truth. Only truth had absolute certainty. Everything else comes and goes, ebbs and flows. God's word is true. God's way is infallible and perfect in every way. And we need to follow that. It said, do not forsake the law. The word do not forsake, the idea, don't walk away. Don't leave it behind you. Don't abandon it. Don't neglect this. Don't desert it. That is your duty as young people. That's our duty as people of God regarding His Word. We must never forsake it. Never walk away, dismiss it, leave it behind. It should always stay with us close. Then Solomon went on in the next point, which I simply listed as family heritage of teaching in verse 3 and 4. When I was my father's son, tender and only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my word, keep my commands and live. Here we have the legacy of godly instruction. Solomon is talking about his father teaching him, which he is passing on to his son. He'd refer to, so to speak, grandpa as he's talking to his son. The legacy of a family passing on the words of wisdom that flows from this book. Now, we all know David, not a perfect man. Solomon, not a perfect man. Neither was his son or anybody after that. But they still did the right thing in this. Here we have the grandfather, father, and the son, three generations. Throughout we have hints of how David instructed and taught his son Solomon. One such case in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, said this, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father. Now listen to those words. You need to know the God that I know, is what he's saying. So he's implying, I have walked with this God my whole life, and you've watched me do it. So he's saying, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Man, there is good, rich Christian living here. There is stuff that parents need to teach. Son, daughter, you need to love God with a loyal, sincere, genuine heart. You need to do it with a willing mind, not a reserved mind, not an apprehensive mind, not a doubting mind, but a willing mind. Why? Because God knows your heart. He will search your thoughts and motives and why you do what you do. So make sure you're pure in and out. You need to seek him. And if you do, you'll be found. He'll be found. If you abandon him, forsake him, then you will be cut off. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 12 and 13, he said this, only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, but do not fear nor be dismayed. You wonder why with that kind of teaching in his home and that kind of teaching as he became a man and about ready to take over the leadership of Israel. It's no wonder that when God said, ask what you want, and he asked for wisdom, not for wealth untold. I want wisdom so I know how to discern and guide this great people you have given me. Why did that? That didn't come out of a vacuum. That came from the instruction of his father in the home. Solomon remembers these things and now is teaching his son here. Matthew Henry said it this way. when Solomon was grown up, he not only remembered but took pleasure in repeating the good lessons his parents taught him when he was a child, end quote. Never underestimate your teaching, parents. Be faithful, be true, keep teaching. That didn't matter if they're receiving it or not. At the end of the day, we're not counting on their ability to listen as much as the Holy Spirit to bring it to home and then bring it to their understanding. We don't know when that time happens, so we must be faithful while they're in our home. Teach and model and be an example. He said in verse 4, also taught me and said to me, notice, let your heart retain my words. And I thought that was very instructive. Sometimes we as Christian parents have a tendency to want to make our children look right, act right, instead of doing what I say, being right. And being right only starts in the heart. Here he speaks in verse 4, let your heart retain my words. Don't simply do it in your action. Let my heart, the idea of which your whole heart, all of your heart. We learned earlier in Proverbs, in the previous chapter, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, very familiar passage, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So here Solomon is saying the same thing. Let your heart retain my word. Keep my commands and live. Not talking about simply living a long life. One of the things that you'll see throughout Proverbs, and we see it throughout the Bible, is a lot of times the wicked lives are shortened because of bad choices and decisions they made that put them to an early grave. Whether it's sinful patterns, habits, doing things that are wrong, that led to their death. If we let God have his way, we will not have those things that will come back to haunt us at the fruit of our ways. That's why he can say in verse 4, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Look at verse 5 through 9. Point number 3, get wisdom, get understanding. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. And she will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. So we see here, right from the front, right at the front end, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. I simply wrote these words, clear, strong command, and promises. Here's the list. Do not forsake my counsel. Do not turn away from my word. Do not forsake her or wisdom. Why? When you keep her, she'll preserve you. Love her, she'll keep you. In all your pursuit, get wisdom. Exalt her, and she'll promote you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. And in the end, she will give you an ornament of grace, and she'll deliver to you the crown of glory. So let's look at those things. First of all, I want you to notice the word get. The word get had the implication of getting something by way of purchase. It is the idea of to buy or acquire or obtain something by some kind of financial transaction. And once you gain it or acquire it, you never give it up. So when you look at the contrast between a wise person and a fool, remember from the very beginning, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it said this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But then it ends with these sobering words. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Even later on in Proverbs 17, verse 16, it says this, listen. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchased price of wisdom, since he had no heart for it? In other words, he had wisdom basically right in the palm of his hand if he'd willing to pay for it and get it and acquire it, but he had no heart for it. God is saying, what? Let me give you the New Testament equivalent. Why cast pearls before the swine? But for the wise person, Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So those four things we're supposed to do, be willing to pay any price where it takes to gain truth, wisdom, discernment, understanding. And never let it go. So we need to get it. That's what it said. Get wisdom, get understanding. Then it talked about, in the second half, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. You need to do everything in your power to understand that we are not to forsake or to leave it behind. Verse 6, do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. So we're commanded here to not forsake and to love. Don't forsake her, love her. When that happens, she will preserve you and keep you. What does that mean? The word preserve and keep is kind of like synonyms that speak to the idea to guard you, to keep a watch over you, to act as a watchman in your life and to protect you. Wisdom, when you gain wisdom and you make decisions and choices based on the wisdom gained, you will take the right path and good path. And in that path, you will be preserved and kept. You won't be going to the places that create havoc, stumbling, problems, and issues. You'll be on the path you should be. There will not be the stumbling block that comes to you because you have chosen to take the path of folly rather than wisdom. We learned earlier in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, when wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. So clearly, how will it do that? Because you will recognize a perverse person, wicked people, unjust people, vile people, for who they are, and that's not the company you keep. You stay away from them and stay on the path with those of wisdom and godliness and uprightness and integrity. Verse 7, it talked about wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Man, that is such a rich exhortation. Wisdom is the principal thing, meaning it is the number one principle. It's the foundation. It's the starting point. It's the chief thing. Wisdom is supreme. I like what Derek Kidner's great commentator on Proverbs said this. What it takes is not brains or opportunity, but a decision. Do you want it? Come and get it. End quote. You want wisdom? Go for it. Seek it. Then it says, in all you're getting, the idea there, in all you're acquiring, when you leave your home, you're going to be acquiring and doing everything you can to make life easier, better, productive, comfortable, all that goes with it. In all of your getting, whatever effort or cost is involved, it said here, in all you're getting, get wisdom. And whatever it costs, it is worth it. No matter the effort, no matter the cost, It will be well worth it to acquire it. In all you're getting, and all your exchanges, and all your acquisition to progress in this world, be certain to get wisdom and get understanding along the way. Don't just simply go from one point to another point purely from a secular, earthly, here and now, under the sun mentality. Always with the fear of God as the foundation. That at the end of your life, you're going to answer to God for your life. That there is that great day where we give an account for our lives. When you take the path of wisdom, you'll be glad that you did. Verse 8 talked about exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. The idea of exalt her, meaning lifting her up, esteem this way of life highly and to value it, to prize it. Matthew Henry said this, always keep up high thought of the Christian life. Do all that you can to bring it a good reputation and maintaining credibility of it among men. Agree with God in his purpose to which it to magnify the law and to make it honorable. And do what you can to serve that purpose. To make it attractive. Exalt wisdom. Promote wisdom. Uplift wisdom. Raise her up. The word promoted the idea to set it on high. Proverbs 3 verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. What is that as a result of? Notice verse 8 again. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Honor, the ultimate honor to be with the Lord in the end. That's why it said the wise shall inherit glory. But shame will be the legacy of fools, which is what the opposite of shame, honor. I love the word embrace. The word embrace speaks of to hug, to hold with affection. You need to embrace, hug, and hold wisdom with affection. Another thing about the word honor, if I may, is the word means to not only it means to be revered and to be respected. Think for a moment, if we take in all that we have learned from Proverbs up to this point, and we live our life accordingly. When a person's life is one of integrity, honesty, consistency, faithfulness, equity, and uprightness, it brings with it a sense of honor, respect, and dignity. People will see you as the real deal. A decent, upright, wholesome person. But you always want to do it for his glory, not for yourself. This is just a byproduct of living a life of wisdom. Because you'll live a life of integrity. Not because it was inherently in you, but you were instructed and you chose to follow that path of integrity and faithfulness and all the things that we are going to learn throughout this series in Proverbs. When you follow wisdom, she will honor you. Verse 9. As we come to a close, she will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. The idea of the ornament of grace that you'll have a life full of grace and glory and beauty. The crown of glory she will give you. Many commentators thought the idea of the word crown of glory, the ultimate victorious end. In those days, it was very common for athletes when they won their competition, their reward was this garland that they would put over the athlete. And any athlete who had that garden, it was known as the victor's garland. God will crown us with that. So it's either the big one over their head, over their neck, or the one on top of their head. But the idea, it's the victorious crown of glory. It is the victor. You'll, in the end, win. Because you have followed God's way, not your way. You chose to follow His way, not the world's way. Not what you feel like doing, but what you ought to do. As you see through His Word, and that it all begins as God-fearing parents teach their children. Children, listen, pay attention. As we grow up and get past and on our own, we need to always be in that submissive, teachable, listening mode, because wisdom is still crying out everywhere. We haven't arrived. We got to ever grow and ever pursue and ever mature and ever growing in this area. God had promised many blessings if we would get wisdom and get understanding. And if you ask the question, why should I? Then followed up with the verse, wisdom is the principal thing. The most important thing. It's the foundational thing that you need to. So what do you do in your spare time? When you have that moment, do you take that time to seek wisdom? Beg and plead with God, spend time, extra time in the Word? Or do you waste it, not in sinful enterprise, but maybe in a way of vanity? What do I mean by vanity? Too often we think when we use the word vanity, we got the vanity mirror. Okay? That's one sort. But the word vanity means doing something, spending a lot of time and energy that in the end produced nothing. Living a life of emptiness. We live in a world that is filled with a lot of activity, but at the end of the day, it produces nothing for us in this world and in the world to come in preparing our heart. So be careful. Maybe the enemy is not sin as much as vanity. Be careful and always be following God's way and wisdom. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You. May You bless the preaching of Your Word. We thank You for it, again, its clarity, its instruction. Father, may we feel the weight of what's been taught and what's been said. Lord, this is Your Word. May we heed it and respond to it. May we, as Solomon would have said, may we love it and embrace it. May we never forsake it. We have been instructed. We have been taught now. Now, Lord, help us to heed, respond, and obey. May we glorify You in doing such. In Jesus' name.